Say this with me. You have the capacity to break every chain. That capacity to break every chain is within you. Amen? So if it's time to grow up, the capacity means that it's going to be in you. Amen. I want to talk about the panim in just a moment, but I also want to review a few things that we talked about last week. Because in Matthew 11:28, it says, come. Remember we talked about just a moment ago, the Lord gives instruction. Come. That's the instruction. It's a simple instruction. Why do we make it difficult? If we're going to grow up, it's time to recognize that I have the power to finish this instruction. I have the power to complete what He's assigned me to do. He says, come, all you are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So when we begin to recognize that, we can also begin to recognize the power and authority He's put in us to be able to do this. Because when we begin to recognize that if He said to do it, and then we don't, who is Lord? He said you can do it, but you don't. Who is Lord? Do you want to know how you can tell how much Jesus is Lord in your life? Go fast. Because when you fast, you find out whether or not Jesus is Lord. I can tell you, my flesh screams at times when that's happening. So Jesus is not Lord where that flesh is able to scream. Glory to God. Okay, moving on from that subject because I can see you guys were really excited. It's kind of like when we were talking about putting the fish on the back of your car. Move on. He also said, take my yoke. Take my yoke. Take the Lord's yoke, not the yoke of the world. Not the yoke of what somebody else thinks. Not the yoke of what your best friend said. But take my yoke upon you. Because when I take my yoke upon me, that's how I actually establish His lordship. That's how I actually recognize, because it's a voluntary thing. The one thing, you know, when your boss, he wants you to do it his way. Sometimes your spouse wants you to do it their way. But my point is that when somebody else is in control, they're establishing their lordship. But this is a voluntary thing. The Lord will not force you. He'll invite you. He'll even plead with you. He'll draw you. But it's a choice. If we're going to grow up, we make the choice. We begin to establish His lordship because we take His yoke upon me. It means that that's continuous action through which I establish His fellowship and His companionship in my life. Obedience matters. I want to establish His fellowship and His companionship. I want to nurture it. Because when I'm establishing that fellowship and companionship, I'm no longer linked to sin and death. I'm no longer under the yoke of sin and death. I get to actually reestablish what was established in the garden. Because what was there? It was a voluntary cooperation where they were coming face to face with God. Here's the good part, brother. When we're yoked with Jesus, we're not in condemnation. We're not in shame. When we're yoked with Jesus, we're not in shame. We're not in guilt. Even if we played something in church that we shouldn't have played. Unoffendable. That's right. We're not walking in our addiction. Amen? Thank you, Lord Jesus. So I just kind of want to sum this part of it up. Before we jump into the panim, Revelation 4:1 said what? Come up here. So not only was it an invitation, it's an instruction. When He gives me an instruction, He's also given me the power to fulfill it. His instruction is His pledge to see you through it. It's an invitation to see God face to face. In Genesis 32, I'm going to just kind of exhort this. We've been over that before. But Jacob went face to face. If you want the scripture, Genesis 32, scriptures 11 through 30. But he went face to face with God. He was wrestling with God. But in that interchange, there was an exchange that was made, and he was transformed. He was transformed because there was something in him that needed to be delivered, because Jacob means deceiver, and that was his action. His action and his habit was to be a deceiver, and that was how he was actually known. How would you like to come up to everybody and say, "Hey, my name is Deceiver"? That's what he was doing. And God said, "No, I'm giving you a new identity. I'm giving you an identity that says you're a favored one. I'm going to put you as Israel, one who wrestles and prevails." So in that place, the place that he did it, he named that place Peniel. Peniel means face of God. So when Peniel means face of God, it comes from the word pana, which means to turn toward. To turn toward. So Peniel means, basically coming from the word pana means to turn, and then El means God, so I'm turning to God. What is that? That's repentance. Repentance is when we turn to God. Peniel simply is another way to say repentance. I'm turning, I'm encountering God. Because I came to the place of an exchange, I'm encountering God as who He is. I'm encountering Him in His holiness, and His holiness changed me. His holiness did something. It lit a fire in me that doesn't leave me alone. I can no longer be the deceiver because why? His fire changed me. So when we see panim, that also comes from the word pana, recognize that panim and pana, panim actually is multiple. It's not just face, it's faces. Faces. But it's I have shown and said this in the past, but I pulled up an old computer up here at one point in time, put it up here, and I just said, when we say panim, we would look at the front, expecting the face of it is just the front of it. But when a Hebrew expresses panim, they're actually not expressing just the front of it, but the hard drive and the memory and the processing system. In other words, all the thoughts, intentions, and everything else it takes to convey the tone of who you are. That's what they mean by panim. That's what they mean by face. It's something greater than what we've seen. It's not just the thing that you see right here. That's a reflection of how the bone structure underneath my skin is affecting the design. But it's something that, what is the character behind? What are the capacities? The intentions? See, it speaks of relationship and being before someone. It means having an immediate access, being engaged, and it describes a life that's openly and honestly and without hiding. I've discovered that the best place I can be is in front of His face. The best thing I can be is open and vulnerable with Him. Because the only way I'm ever going to change is to be open and vulnerable with Him. It used to scare me back when people told you God sees everything that you do. When I first got saved, I was like, oh, I don't want God seeing everything I do. But now it's my safe place. It becomes your safe place when you no longer have anything to hide. When you no longer say, even if I have something to hide, I want to step out and get everything that needs to be got. Because when I embrace that, I am embracing the totality of His truth for me. And that's only going to bring me into a place of greater revelation of who He is. It's only going to bring me into a place of greater revelation of who I'm supposed to be. Many of the men of God encountered Penim. Moses, in Exodus 33:13, okay, one of my favorite scriptures, 33:13 and then 14, he encountered the Penim. He knew what it was to be before the face of God, and he said, teach me your ways that I may know you. Out of that, he said, teach me your ways that I may know you, that I might find favor in your sight. And forget not these people who go with me. In other words, I can't lead them without you leading me. I can't do for them without you doing something in me. This was a man who had already done everything that, I mean, he crossed the Red Sea. He delivered the people out of Egypt. He had already done those things. And now he says, teach me your ways. Because all that I've done has only shown me that I need to know you more. So then the very next verse in 33, Exodus 33, let me flip over there real quick. Exodus 33 was 33:14, and 33:14 says, and the Lord is answering him now. It says, and my presence, my panim, my faces will go with you and give you rest. See, what Moses figured out here was that for him to, and for Israel to represent what they were supposed to represent, it was going to require for God to go with them. That they couldn't be who they were supposed to be unless God went with them. That it wasn't worth even going to the promised land unless God went with them. Your promise is always going to be accompanied by God going with you into it. And without Him going into you with it, it will be empty. So you have to look for the panim to be set up in your life, for you to be encamped in this place so that you can walk with Him into the promise, because the promise is where He's going to be fulfilling you. The promise is where He's going to be at. The promise is going to be His signature upon you. We want to stand in His signature. I want to be known as the man who walks with the panim of God. I want to be known as somebody who stands with His signature on my life. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So he understood that God is creating an identity. It represents favor. The panim represents favor and blessing, grace upon your life. Living before His face brings an awareness of His involvement, awareness of His place of rest, and awareness of His direction. When I understand His involvement, His place of rest, and His direction, guess what I am doing? I'm actually walking in His lordship. Go with me to Psalm 8. 27, verse 8. We'll get there. See, this is David meeting the panim. 27, verse 8. When thou didst say, seek my face, seek my panim, my heart said to thee, thy face, thy panim, Lord, I will seek. Thy face I will seek. His instruction, again, is His pledge. It means that he, like Moses, is learning that if I learn your ways, because we see down here in verse 11, what does it say? Verse 11, it says, teach me thy way, O Lord, He's taking the panim, he's connecting it and saying, when I walk in your panim, when I walk in the face of God, when I walk with agreement, with alignment, with the face of God, I'm learning the panim, I'm learning your way. When I learn your way, it's only going to be of a benefit to me and then all those who are around me. The more effectively I learn his ways, the more effectively I get to communicate to every person around me who God is and what he can do. Our communication can and should be in words, but our communication can and should not be this limited to words. It should be completion of our actions, the things that God does in us and through us. Panim represents his nearness, his favor, his engagement. It comes from a pursuit of his presence. It comes from his approval. I'm trying to separate these two sounds so that she doesn't have to take it out of the tape. Glory to God. Or the MP4, whatever it is these days. Come on. I've been in this business a while, okay? The recording. There's no 8-track here. Real to real. Real to real, baby. No stone tablet. That's right. The commandments carried on the stone tablet. How did he get those back off the mountain? Can you imagine the big old chunks of stone and you got to walk down the mountain with those big old... He was 80-something when he was doing that, okay? That's not a small task. There's no way you don't tell me that small tablet wasn't this size tablet, okay? It was big. Glory to God. But he was the first person to ever download from the cloud and onto a tablet. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So... It creates his approval, number one. I don't know about you, but I've sought so much approval from so many people. Obviously from your dad, you always want that approval. Okay? Or your mom, or your best friend, or whatever. You're always looking for that approval. But when you get approval from God, that's approval that brings breakthrough. That's approval that brings change. That's approval that brings transformation. That's approval that actually changes your life, because those other approvals are all false promises that will never deliver. But his approval is something that will change who you are, and it will change what you're doing and what you believe about yourself. It's time for us to grow up and quit seeking the wrong approvals. It doesn't matter about the approvals of others. I mean, that's the reason that I got into drugs and all that stuff, was because I was seeking approval from the wrong people. I don't need that approval anymore. I don't need those approvals in my life. I need the approval of the one who matters. Come on. So it creates an awareness. When I'm stepping into the panim, it creates awareness of his holiness and the restoration he offers from the sin nature that I carried. Past tense. I don't have to be under the sin nature any longer. I don't have to stay under the sin nature, because why? I can step into the one who's given me a new nature. Hallelujah. So when he's the source, he becomes the source of life and joy and security. When we seek the panim, all you gotta do is just say joy, joy. When we seek the panim, he's the one who makes this access possible. He's the one who designed it so that we come with Him. So, with all this, I think I'm going to get there. I wasn't sure if I was going to get there or not, but I'm going to get there. I want to go to Ezekiel 1 because, see, I've had this question. I've read this chapter many, many times in my life, and I'm just like, I would go read it, and I would go, huh? Today I got some understanding. So I'm going to impart some understanding. Well, because I no longer have to be in the place of, huh? I can be in the place of God to give me a little bit of enlightenment. Glory to God. So go with me to Ezekiel 1. Hallelujah. And see, in Ezekiel 1, you need to understand something. Ezekiel has already been deported in this moment. He already has been deported. He now, in Chaldeans, he's with the Chaldeans. And now, but see, Jerusalem is still standing. Now, how many know that there are prophets? Uh-huh. How many know there are good prophets? And there are bad prophets. I'm not casting any decisions on anybody. But there were some bad prophets here who were telling Israel that, oh, don't worry about this. Jerusalem's still standing and we'll be going back really quickly. So don't get set up. Don't set up camp because we're going back. See, they were telling, but why would they tell them that? Because they were getting something from return from it because everybody wanted to hear that. Jeremiah had already told them, oh, go ahead and set up camp because it's going to be 70 years before you get back. So your generation and the next generation are all going to die here. Ezekiel comes into the picture at this moment to let them know that, yes, it's going to be a long time. Yes, 70 years is going to be a long time, but it's still, he wanted them to know something even more. He wanted them to know that God is with you. It doesn't matter where you're at. God can still be with you. It doesn't matter where you've been through. It doesn't matter that you got deported out of the perfect place. It matters that God is with you. So the symbolism here is that God is here. The symbolism is that God is mobile. His symbolism means, it shows us that he still carries his ways. He's immutable, unchanging, majestic, but approachable, still sovereign. So here we go. Verse 5. And with it were figures resembling four living beings. In chapter 10, by chapter 10, Jerusalem fell. But in chapter 10, he reveals these to be cherubim. And this was their appearance. They had human form. And they had four faces and four wings. And I'm going to skip down to just for time's sake. Verse 10. And in the form of their faces, each one had the face of a man. All four had the face of a lion on the right, and the face of a bull or an ox on the left, and all four had the face of an eagle to the back. See, what kind of nightmare is this? That's all I could ever see. What kind of nightmare is he doing here? But I want you to understand something. Number one, these things represent, actually you can see the four, I'll tell you in the end, but you can see the four gospels being depicted here. Because it tells us a little bit about who Christ is. But let me just say these characteristics. For the man, okay, it signifies his humanity, his compassion, his wisdom, and his dominion over all creation. That's man. The ox exemplifies sacrifice, exemplifies servanthood, service, diligence, and faithfulness. The eagle shows us divinity. sovereignty of the heavens, piercing sight, and swift judgment. See, all these characteristics, come to describe and give us what he's basically showing us here. And they were all mobile because they had wheels with them that went everywhere that they went. The whole throne was mobile because it had wheels on it. He's showing him his glory, and in his glory, he's painting the image of just who God is. Because all these characters are reflecting some part of who God is. Because we are changed as we look at him from image to image. They had taken on some of the images of the living God that they stood before. They took on the images so that they could demonstrate to the people of Babylon who were stuck in captivity of what he needed for them to see. God is still sovereign. He was painting a picture of what they were going to look for in the Christ, because the man, basically Luke refers to him as the Son of Man. The lion, because Matthew refers to him as the Lion of Judah. And the ox, because he came as a servant. And finally, the eagle, showing his divinity, as that's what John began to display, was the divinity of God. So you see these pictures of who Christ is, and they're reflecting the multifaceted glory of God in this place, demonstrating his omniscience, his omnipotence, and his mobility. Each one could move. And according to the story, if you read it here, if you want to read through it, it was like lightning. Each one, they move straight ahead because what? They had four faces. They can move all four directions simultaneously or at once, instantly. God's not limited to a temple. He wanted him to know, I'm not limited to a temple. I have omniscience and I can be anywhere. I have omnipotence. I can do anything. I can be wherever I need to be. And right now I'm with you even in the moment of your captivity. See, the panim represents the faces. Remember I said faces? Here's your faces. You have four faces right here on each critter. The faces of God. They represent God's attentiveness, his nearness, and his favor. He was basically telling them, I'm not going to leave you without me. I'm going to make sure that my lordship is right there near you. Because in an instant, it'll be right there. That's what he was saying through this story, through that revelation. He was showing them the glory of God and the willingness of God to meet them where they were. God wants to meet every one of us where we are at. When I do sozo, my endeavor is to meet them where they're at and then bring them into more of an understanding of their identity. Because when people have an understanding of their identity, they're going to do what God had to have them to do. There was a young man I ministered to for a sexual addiction. And in his sexual addiction, he wound up getting arrested. And he had to go report to, there's an SA as well as, so for sexual addicts to show up at. And so, he would have to go in there and they wanted him to confess every time that, I'm a sex addict. After he understood his identity, God shifted his everything. I mean, this was a man who was successful in his own right, doing well in the business world, but then he had this thing that was holding on to him, that controlled everything in his life. But once he stood and understood his identity in Christ, God changed everything. And there was a day finally that came when he went into the meeting and he said, my name is such and such, and I used to be an addict, but I can tell you that you don't have to be anymore, because this now is my identity. Now, if I had been in that class, I think I would have been there knocking on my door real quick. Only one other person showed up from that group of 30 people. But hey, that was one more than we had to start with. But it totally changed his life. When you help totally change somebody's life, there's some amazing things happen, because he has helped sponsor parts of my life at different times, just randomly. I'm going to read this next part, because as I spent time with the Lord seeking his face, because why? Because he said, come up here. And I receive it as both an invitation and an instruction. And he began to see, and I began to see some things. I'm just going to read it out of this, and some notes that I made from that. We are seated with him, not out of responsibility, not out of duty, but out of joy. It's delightful to spend this time together and to be imprinted with his glory. To know that our Lord is not uptight. He is wide open like the expanse of the skies. Encountering his panim allows me and causes me to realize that he is a living being. He's not harsh, not stoic, not judgmental, but full of life. He values mirth and joy even as he exudes righteousness and peace. He is holy but accessible, fiery but welcoming, endlessly creative, patient, and contains power without end. That's the nature of our God that gets conveyed when you just sit face to face. It's not something we do because it's a duty. It's something we do because it's a joy in our life, because it's something that feeds life to us, that releases life in us and around us. Even in this atmosphere right now, there's life being released simply because the encounter that was in me is now forming itself around you. I want to leave you with this one little more thought here. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face, his panim, to shine upon you. That shine means his approval, his protection, and his shalom are coming upon you. And be gracious to you. His grace is moving into you, over you. And the Lord lift up his face, his countenance, his panim upon you and give you peace. Peace. Anytime we begin to encounter the Lord, it increases peace. Anytime we find ourselves outside of peace, we simply go and encounter the Lord more. When we encounter the Lord, we are encountering peace. The very first thing that Gideon set up was an altar to the Lord is my peace. When the angel encountered him, he was basically encountering Christ. He just didn't know it. But he set up an altar to the God who is peace. Because that's our first reflection. The reflection he wants us to carry. I will tell you that it's not a reflection that comes to me naturally. So when I encounter peace and I interact with peace, I know it's him. There are some people who walk around in peace because that's who they are. But that's not me. But I will tell you, when I have that peace, I know I have the peace. And I know it was about him and not about me. Amen? Amen.